Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is off to a great start. We are going to do our best today to help you get through that Wednesday and get yourself to another weekend. Get some time off of work, get a relax a little bit. We are happy to have you here with us today. And today, on the Daily Dose, we actually have a very, very special announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Yes, this week's Daily Dose episode actually marks our 565th episode. But not just that, this week is actually our 5-year anniversary of doing the podcast. Yeah, you believe that? 5 years? Is that even right? I don't even know if that's right. Yeah, that is right. We started the podcast on December 14th back in 2014. So this week would be 5 years. How in the world, by the way, have we managed to last 5 years doing this? I don't have any idea. I really don't. I don't have a clue, but we have. We have now done over 500 episodes. We have been listened to in numerous states here in the United States. We have been listened to in numerous countries around the world, bizarrely. We have had thousands of downloads. We have had thousands of listens. We are on just about any podcast platform that you can possibly think of. Like if you go out and you search for us on your favorite podcast platform, you're probably going to find the Daily Dose. We've even managed to raise a little money, and I'll just be transparent with you. We donate that money to charities at the end of each year. We have made numerous donations to the Wounded Warrior Project. I am actually particularly proud of that. We have had a number of guests. We've had a few callers. We've made a lot of jokes. We've made a lot of lists. We have talked a ton of sports here on the Dose. You know, when we started this podcast, I'll be honest, I didn't have any idea what in the world I was doing. And most weeks, if you listen to the Daily Dose, you'll notice that it still pretty much feels that way. We were coming off of a radio show that we had done here in Denver for about a year, almost a year. And we kind of just figured, okay, well, the radio show's done. The radio station is doing God knows what. But we wanted to kind of continue doing the Daily Dose. So we figured, all right, we'll try starting this podcast. We'll kind of see where it goes. We didn't have a plan. I sure didn't think it was going to last 5 years. I won't even lie about that. But here we are. Now we have made it to 5 years. Now, when we started this whole thing, we sure weren't looking to solve any mysteries of the universe.
The universe is a cruel, uncaring void. The key to being happy isn't to search for meaning. It's to just keep yourself busy with unimportant nonsense, and eventually you'll be dead.
We just wanted to have fun. We wanted to talk sports. We wanted to make fun of people. And I would say that we have accomplished that completely. We wanted to talk sports. We wanted to make fun of sports, kind of laugh at the sports world, maybe bring you a little bit of a common sense approach to the world of sports. We've done that. We don't have a ton of rules here on the Dose. Like I said, we try to bring you some common sense. We hopefully can make you laugh here or there when you tune in and you listen to the podcast. Cool thing about the podcast, we've always said, you can listen to it when it fits for you. It's not a live show. You can just kind of turn it on. Maybe you're in the car, maybe you're at the gym, maybe you're just at work trying to survive your day in your cubicle, and hopefully we can brighten your day up a little bit while you listen to some sports news. We don't do a lot of hugging here on the Dose. We prefer to point and laugh at a lot of things out there, but I would like to say this. I would like to say genuinely to each of you out there listening, to each of you that have, I don't know, maybe retweeted or liked a tweet or a post on social media, for every one of you that listen, for every one of you that sends me texts or sends me emails or sends me messages saying you like this or even that you didn't like this, maybe just some feedback on the show, whatever. For every one of you that do listen, to each of you that buy the Daily Dose gear that's at tpublic.com, to each of my guests that come on and talk sports and goof off with me, to all of the Daily Dose investigative team members, to all of you out there involved in the Daily Dose sports podcast in any way, shape, or form, I am talking to you right now. Thank you. Thank you for 5 years of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. I've had people ask me, hey, how long are you going to do the podcast? I mean, how long can you keep this going? I'll be honest, I don't have any idea I'm going to keep doing this. I never thought it would go this far, if I'm being honest with you. We might end it all tomorrow. I don't know. But I'm still enjoying doing the Daily Dose. We still have listeners. I hear from some of you sometimes. You say you enjoy it. You reach out. You ask questions. We actually had some questions this past weekend about college football. So I guess we're going to continue this adventure together. I don't know where it's going to go, but we're just going to keep going. I know every single week at the end of the Daily Dose, I say thank you to each one of you out there. And hey, thanks for the retweets. Thanks for the listens. Thanks for all those things. But I wanted to say it today to every one of you that has contributed in any way. Thank you. I don't know how we've made it 5 years, but somehow we have. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show and maybe tell us how you found the Daily Dose, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Like I said, maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you want to tell us how you found the dose. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you need some advice. Had a couple people reach out and just say, hey, what's your opinion? What do you think is going to happen this week in the college football playoff? Always love hearing from listeners. We'll always make sure we get you an answer, and we just might end up using it on the show. Also, you know, we've told you this. The holidays are coming fast. You need to get over to tpublic.com and pick up that Daily Dose gear, and you better hurry because they're going to have time to get that stuff shipped to you. But if you go over to tpublic.com, you search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see one of our logos, then just click on that. You're going to find a number of things out there. T-shirts, we've got long sleeve, we've got short sleeve, we've got hoodies, we've got sweatshirts, we've got coffee mugs, a number of items over at tpublic.com. Make sure you get your Daily Dose gear in time for the holidays. They are sneaking up on us really, really fast this year. With Thanksgiving being so late in November, I feel like the holidays are like here already. It's sneaking up on us pretty quick. Make sure you get that holiday shopping done. One other thing I do need to mention real quick, and that is thanks once again to iTeam member Big Rob. We are going to be once again hosting our own Daily Dose Bowl Game Pick'em. All you have to do, go over to ESPN, create your account if you don't have one, click on Capital One Bowl Mania, create your entry, and then just search and join the group Daily Dose Podcast. It's really, really easy. You pick who you think is going to win each bowl game, and then you slide the picks up and down based on how much confidence you have in them. If you are confident in a certain team, slide that pick all the way up. That way you'll get the max amount of points. The winner, of course, will be the new owner of the Daily Dose Fax Machine. And you will get those bowl game bragging rights. So make sure you head over to ESPN and you make your picks for the bowl games and join our group. We would love to have you in it. Hey, today on the show, we are not just going to sit here and pat ourselves on the back for that 5-year anniversary all day. No, we've got sports to talk. The college football playoff is now set after some very interesting conference championship games. The Heisman Trophy is actually going to be handed out this Saturday. Going to talk about that a little bit today. Some big mysteries there. And you know, at this time of the year, we also have a number of coaching moves taking place in the NFL, taking place in college football. And I've got news for you. More coaching moves are coming, like really, really soon. Going to be talking about a few things we might be expecting over there. Plus, we will have a Daily Dose Top 5 today. You are not going to want to miss that. Trust me on that one. But let's go ahead and jump in with a few stories this week. The college football playoff is, of course, now set. And hey, it went exactly like we laid out last week here on the Dose. We obviously are going to be looking at these games a little bit closer. We're going to be previewing these games in the next few weeks a little bit more in depth. But let's just take a quick look at exactly what the playoff committee did decide. We have some really, really exciting games to watch in a few weeks. I like the way this playoff is set up. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I think it has the possibility to be the best playoff we have seen yet. So let's take a look at the four teams that did get in. The number one team in the college football playoff is, of course, those LSU Tigers. Hey, the Tigers are undefeated this season. And while I know that everyone out there is saying, well, there's another team, you know, that actually has more top 25 wins. I understand that. Understand this. The Tigers have 5 wins over top 10 teams at the time that they played them. That's pretty impressive. On Saturday, in the SEC championship game, the rumor was out there that all LSU had to do was just coast. Even if they lost like a close game against Georgia, they were still going to get into the playoff. So what did LSU do? They went out there and throttled number 4 Georgia 37-10 and left absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the LSU Tigers, they look like the top team in the country. I don't know if they're the most talented team. Right now, they look like the hottest team, and they're right up there as far as talent goes too. LSU is number one. Coming in at number two are the Ohio State Buckeyes, who did struggle a little bit on Saturday night in that Big Ten title game against Wisconsin. Hey, Ohio State is also undefeated, and they haven't had many games that were even all that close this year, but they did have to come from behind Saturday when they trailed Wisconsin 21-7, and I think that probably cost them that number one spot. Now, the Buckeyes did beat five top 25 teams this year, but only two of those teams were in the top 10. So I do think LSU's schedule puts them like just barely a little notch ahead. But I do give Ohio State and first-year head coach Ryan Day a ton of credit. No question, Ohio State played a tough schedule. They had to rebuild that defense completely. Remember last year? That Ohio State defense was terrible. I didn't think Ryan Day could do it. I'll be very honest. I thought Ohio State would struggle a little bit this year. That has not been the case. They have been completely dominant. Ohio State is a true contender in this whole thing. They are number two. At number three is the defending national champions, the Clemson Tigers. And while I know that head coach Dabo Swinney is trying to like drum up all of the, well, we're being disrespected and the ACC is just the hated stepchild and all that stuff, the facts are the facts. Clemson has played a horrible schedule. They do play in a terrible conference, but make no mistake, Clemson is still capable of winning this whole thing. Now, I know, like I said, Dabo does the whole, hey, we're the first team that won the title and then came back the next year. We went undefeated and we're ranked number three. How is that even possible? And I totally get that. But when your strength of schedule is ranked 61st, I mean, what do you want? I understand it's not your fault, but it's also not LSU and Ohio State's fault that they played a way tougher schedule. You're number three. You're still in it. Deal with it. But again, Clemson has been red hot through the last part of the season. Clemson's going to be a very, very tough out in this thing. The final team that gets into the college football playoff at that number four spot are the Oklahoma Sooners, who knocked off Baylor in the Big 12 championship game on Saturday. Now, OU is the only team in the top four that actually has a loss on their resume. And please don't take what I'm about to say as disrespect for the Sooners. But who else could the committee take in this thing? I mean, LSU pounded Georgia, and Georgia did not look good. They got really, really banged up. A number of injuries in that game on Saturday night in the SEC championship game. Georgia couldn't get in. There's no way. Oklahoma beat Baylor. I don't think Baylor deserved to be there. Oregon blew out Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. So, I mean, aside from Oklahoma, you would have to be looking at taking a two-loss team. So there really weren't any other options for the committee. They kind of got lucky. The four teams that they picked are the only four teams they possibly could have picked. Now, again, that's not necessarily a slight against Oklahoma. I mean, not a full slight against Oklahoma, I guess. The Sooners may not have the resume of those top three teams, but hey, head coach Lincoln Riley, he can put together some crazy offensive schemes. They can find ways to generate points. Quarterback Jalen Hurts, for all the talk about Jalen Hurts and maybe some of the things he can't do, all that guy does is win. So Oklahoma doesn't have the resume those other three teams do. They're going to still be a tough out in this thing. So on December 28th, at 2 p.m., we will have the Peach Bowl, where we see number one LSU facing the number four Oklahoma Sooners. Then, at 6 p.m. on December 28th, we will get a heavyweight fight in the Fiesta Bowl as number two Ohio State squares off against number three Clemson. Hey, that, my friends, is a very, very good lineup of playoff games. Now, I'd still like to see an 18 playoff. But this is going to be a lot of fun. And then we get the championship game between the two winners on January 13th. I am super bummed that the college football season is winding down. I swear it feels like it just got here. But the bowl season will be, well, it'll be a bowl season. But the playoff should be highly, highly entertaining. A couple of other stories we probably should touch on very quickly. Over in Major League Baseball, the Washington Nationals have re-signed starting pitcher Steven Strasburg. They gave him a 7-year deal worth $245 million. And I mean, I guess that's great news for Washington. We saw how valuable that starting pitching was in the postseason. And hey, Steven Strasburg was phenomenal. But it does also probably tell us that third baseman Anthony Rendon, who was absolutely incredible also in the postseason, yeah, he's probably going to be going somewhere else. And why do I just know it's going to be New York, Boston, or LA? I'm sick of New York, Boston, and LA, but why do you just know that's where he's going to end up? I hope that's not the case, but I have a suspicion it will be. And over in the NFL, the New England Patriots acknowledged that their production crew inappropriately filmed the field and sideline during Sunday's game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Now, they accepted full responsibility in a statement released on Monday night. The crew apparently was credentialed by the Browns to shoot video for a Patriots web series called Do Your Job. But the Patriots did not inform the Bengals who they played this week or the NFL, which they called an unintended oversight. Of course, well, remember back in 2007, the Patriots were punished by the NFL for videotaping the New York Jets defensive play calls on the sideline during a game at Giants Stadium, which the Patriots did win. At that time, the Patriots were forced to forfeit a first-round draft pick in 2008, and head coach Bill Belichick was fined $500,000. The Patriots were also ordered to pay $250,000 to the NFL, which of course we all know as Spygate. Now, the Patriots visit the Bengals this Sunday, and I'm sure this was just a wild oversight. It's not like the Patriots have ever given us any reason whatsoever to doubt their integrity, have they? Why would we even question it? I mean, come on, you're the Patriots. You do everything on the up and up. Speaking of integrity, let's talk a little boxing. We do have a new heavyweight champion in the world of boxing that we should probably talk about. Anthony Joshua regained his heavyweight crown by winning a unanimous decision over Andy Ruiz on Saturday night. Kind of a crazy situation there. British judge Steve Gray scored the fight 119-109 for Joshua. Glenn Feldman of the United States and Benoit Russell of Canada each had the fight 118-110, also in favor of Anthony Joshua. That's quite a win for Joshua. Well, I mean, remember, it looked like he had quit in their first fight when Ruiz earned that seventh round TKO. I wasn't sure if Anthony Joshua truly had the heart to go out there and beat Andy Ruiz, but he did it, and I got to give him some credit for it. I didn't think he had it in him. But I do have to mention, I kind of have to say this, Andy Ruiz had to like be forklifted into the ring for the first fight. Andy Ruiz weighed in at 268. He did not look like he was in great shape. He looked like a butterball. Well, dude rolled onto the scale for this fight weighing 284 pounds. What is Andy Ruiz, like 5'10"? 284? And you figured that was for weigh-in. Then he started adding some pounds after that. Come on, man. It's going to be tough to win any fight at 5'10 and 284. But I mean, this is kind of on the promoters for this. You can't have this fight right after Thanksgiving. I mean, they gave Andy Ruiz a blood test and they took 3 pints of gravy from it. Butterbean thought Ruiz had kind of let himself go for this fight. But hey, Joshua does get the win by unanimous decision. I was actually off a little bit. When I saw the weigh-in, I predicted Joshua would beat Ruiz in a 7th round EKG. So now, I mean, I guess we wait around and see if they're going to do this a third time. I'm not sure anyone cares. I'm not sure this is a fight that really generated that much interest in it. Or maybe we would see Joshua or Ruiz go try to fight Deontay Wilder. And I know that might sound insane. I think Wilder is more of a warrior and he's way, way more dangerous than either of these two fighters. But I also think Deontay Wilder is a little bit inexperienced and sometimes he is not that polished of a fighter. I would be way more interested to see Anthony Joshua or to see Andy Ruiz face Wilder than I would be to see them face each other again. I've had enough of this. And Andy Ruiz, you need to get some Slim Fast, my man. You've got to get yourself in shape. Hey, coming back, we need to talk about the Heisman Trophy that will be handed out this weekend. Plus, we are reaching that point in the football season where coaches are starting to get real, real nervous. We're going to talk about which ones should be the most nervous when we get back. So the Heisman Trophy is going to be awarded this Saturday. They will give that to the most outstanding player in college football. And you know, every single year, there is at least a little bit of mystery as to who is going to win this coveted award. You know, a lot of times there's a favorite. There's like a guy we say, okay, he's probably going to win it, but we're not quite 100% sure. Well, there is no mystery whatsoever this year, folks. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow is winning this thing, and they don't even need to invite anyone else to the ceremony. Oh, they might talk about this week, maybe Chase Young or Justin Fields or Jonathan Taylor or even Jalen Hurts. Sorry, it is Joe Burrow's award, and the vote won't even be close. Joe Burrow, enjoy your Heisman. No need to even tune in and watch the Heisman ceremony. So let's go ahead and move on. And let's stay in college football, though, because we are reaching that point in the season where, you know, coaches' seasons are now over. We are seeing coaches drop like flies. We've already seen a few coaches already get fired. And even some of them have already been replaced. Ole Miss fired Matt Luke. He was on the job for just 3 seasons. And do you want to know how desperate Ole Miss is for some kind of excitement? They went out and they hired Lane Kiffin over the weekend. Really? You couldn't get Hugh Freeze back? You had to go with Lane Kiffin, huh? Well, I mean, I guess. Florida State, of course, fired Willie Taggart after just 2 seasons. They bypassed Deion Sanders, despite all of our wishes, and they instead grabbed Memphis head coach Mike Norvell. I don't know. I guess we'll see if that's a decent hire. But in the most surprising move of every move, like ever, that we are going to talk about today, the USC Trojans announced last week they will not be replacing head coach Clay Helton. Even though it seems like, I don't know, a bag of garbage could take over and literally do a better job. USC has a ton of talent every single year. And for some reason, they still lead the nation year after year in dumb, undisciplined penalties. So I don't know how Clay Helton kept his job, but he did. But today, let's take a look at a few of the other coaches out there that could, in fact, still be in trouble in college football, because there are a number of big name head coaches. They could be looking for a job very, very soon. And our first guy up, it kind of sounds insane to say this, but Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio, he might be feeling a little bit of heat coming off his chair. I know it was just 4 years ago that the Michigan State Spartans were in the college football playoff. And you know, we're kind of just used to D'Antonio rolling out competitive teams, rolling out these tough, kind of scrappy teams. They play in that cold weather. But since that playoff appearance, do you realize Michigan State is just 26-24? And they have been losing to way too many, like, unranked teams. I know you play in a tough conference, but can you at least beat the unranked teams on your schedule? The offense is terrible. It shows no signs of getting better. Quarterback Brian Lewerke, he has been in East Lansing for, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years now. Why is he getting worse every single season? Mark D'Antonio could be in a little bit of trouble. Another coach that we never expected to be here was the savior to Nebraska football. But Scott Frost, he's kind of finding his dream job to be a little bit more of a nightmare, at least right now. Last year, when Nebraska goes 4-8, I mean, big deal. That was Frost inheriting Mike Riley's players. There's no way Scott Frost can fix everything that fast. So going into the season, what were we hearing? Nebraska might be a contender in the Big Ten. They might even be a dark horse pick to be like a top 10 kind of team. Yeah, not so much. First, they lose to Colorado. Then they get blown out by Ohio State and Minnesota. Then they lose to Indiana. They lose to Purdue. They lose to Wisconsin. They lose to Iowa. Nebraska once again goes 5-7 this year. They didn't even qualify for a bowl game. And everyone gets in a bowl game. Not Nebraska. I know everyone thought that once they brought Scott Frost back, Nebraska would just get rolling. They'd start picking up Big Ten championships. They'd start contending for national titles. But quarterback Adrian Martinez, he kind of looks like he's regressing. And that defense still looks terrible. You know, if they're not careful, Nebraska's going to have to take their black shirts from them yet again. I know every single year, oh, we're going to take back the black shirts. Yeah, you've been doing that for the last 30 years. Who cares? Will Nebraska be patient with Scott Frost? I don't know. Does it matter? Probably not, because it doesn't look like Nebraska is going anywhere fast. Now, a number of people going into the season had put some huge expectations on another team. And yes, I'm talking about the Texas Longhorns. They were ranked number 10 in the country going into the year. Now, we didn't believe it here at the Dose. You can even go back and listen. But some people did. We said expectations and Texas right now don't go together too well. They're going to end up struggling this year. The Longhorns have gone just 7-5. They had losses to LSU. Okay, no shame there. They lost to Oklahoma. Hey, no shame there. That's two of the top four teams in the country. But Texas also lost to TCU. They lost to Baylor. They lost to Iowa State. Is it fair that head coach Tom Herman is on any kind of a hot seat whatsoever? No, it probably isn't. But we're talking about Texas. Texas football? I mean, things don't have to make sense. That's just how things are. Tom Herman, your seat might be a little bit warmer than most coaches. Again, it's not really fair, but you're at Texas. That's just what goes with the territory. Now, I think our next guy up, his seat is probably just warm. But make no mistake, the fans and the alumni, oh, they want to fire Miami Hurricanes head coach Manny Diaz like yesterday. They expect titles. They expect championships every single year. And you know, when Miami came out of the gate this year, they kind of came out pretty fast. I mean, remember in the opener, Miami gave the Florida Gators, who ended up being a top 10 team, pretty stern test to start the season. And I think it got everyone down at Miami a little bit excited. And then Miami finished the season 6-6. They had losses to Georgia Tech and they lost to Florida International. Okay. Miami should never, ever, ever, ever lose to Florida International. Now, I think the administration will wait another year, but Manny Diaz had better improve this Miami program very, very quickly. Will Muschamp at South Carolina, yeah, he might be having a really, really hard time sitting down right now. The only thing helping Will Muschamp is the fact that South Carolina, I mean, I don't know, losing is just kind of in their blood out there, so they might not even notice. But the frustrating part for the Gamecocks is that when they played some of the top teams this year, they played them pretty tough. They beat Georgia. They kind of at least hung with Alabama for a while. They gave Florida a pretty good game for like 3.5 quarters. But then Will Muschamp's Gamecocks lost to Tennessee. They lost to Texas A&M. Oh, and by the way, yeah, South Carolina also lost to Appalachian State. Did I mention they lost to Appalachian State? South Carolina finishes the season 4-8. Yeah, Muschamp might already be fired as you are listening to this. He's in a load of trouble. We're going to finish out our college football coaches that I believe are on a pretty hot seat right now, and we're going to finish up in the Pac-12. And no, I'm not talking about Chip Kelly at UCLA. I give Chip Kelly a little bit of credit. He kind of rallied the troops. He gave UCLA at least a glimmer of hope. Like, maybe we can score some points. We're not going to probably play any defense, but maybe we can score some points at some point while I'm here. And I'm not talking about Stanford coach David Shaw. Yes, Stanford was absolutely atrocious this year, but David Shaw has built up enough equity at Stanford, he should be able to survive one terrible season. That's not a huge deal. No. I'm talking about Arizona head coach Kevin Sumlin, who was hired 2 years ago after the great Rich Rodriguez fiasco. And what has Kevin Sumlin done there? Well, he's pretty much run the program directly into the ground. Get this. Arizona under Rich Rod was 43-35. Okay, not great. And especially not great when you had your wife and your girlfriend on the sideline or whatever was going on there under Rich Rodriguez. That was a mess. I understand that. But under Sumlin, the Wildcats are 9-15. They're not better. They're worse. They're much, much worse. Arizona thought they had the next great superstar in quarterback Khalil Tate. Hey, no question. Tate is talented, but he's not getting any better under Sumlin. But remember this. I want you to think back to this. The Arizona Wildcats were all set to hire Navy coach Ken Niumatalolo. And then Tate told the Arizona president that he wanted a guy that would let him throw it all over the place. So they went and got Kevin Sumlin instead. You made this bed, Arizona. Enjoy sleeping with it. Because I've got news for you. You would have won a bunch of games under Niumatalolo. But the adults at the university would not act like adults. And instead, they let a kid make a big time decision. So Arizona, I don't feel bad for you one bit. Enjoy. Let's switch over to the NFL though, because I'm calling it right now. Black Monday is coming when we see all these coaches' heads roll, and a number of head coaches' heads are going to be rolling. This is going to be brutal, kids. The NFL has already seen two coaches get fired during the regular season. And I think we have a very, very real chance to see another, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 more before all the dust settles. So far, Washington has already fired Jay Gruden. And Carolina let Riverboat Ron Rivera go last week. But I'm telling you right now, get ready for more. It's going to get ugly. And I think the first guy up, and again, he might be fired as I'm saying this already. The Jacksonville Jaguars have absolutely quit on head coach Doug Marrone. I mean, you can live with close losses to like Houston, and Jacksonville lost a close game to like New Orleans. But getting blown out by those same Texans, by the Buccaneers, by the Titans, by the Chargers on Sunday. And the thing is, Jacksonville isn't even showing like a pulse. Like they're not even competing whatsoever in these games. I don't care if it's Nick Foles at quarterback. I don't care if it's Gardner Minshew. I don't care if it's Mark Brunell. I don't care if it's Blake Bortles. You can't just quit. The Jaguars have quit on Marrone, and Marrone is going to be gone very, very soon. Now, I know this guy is only in his first season, but the Freddie Kitchens experiment with the Cleveland Browns, yeah, it's been an unmitigated disaster. This team is undisciplined in every single way possible. And I know, like, you can kind of talk about maybe they're still in a playoff race. The Cleveland Browns have been underachieving all year. The defense has been far worse than advertised. Odell Beckham Jr. is way more concerned with his appearance than his performance. Baker Mayfield looks like he ate Johnny Manziel. The Cleveland Browns have been a huge disappointment, and you have to start at the top. You have to start with their head coach. Remember this. Prior to the biggest game of their season, 2 weeks ago, against a third, I don't know, maybe fourth string quarterback, Freddie Kitchens was wearing a Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt, referring to the big fight in their first matchup, which resulted in Cleveland defensive end Myles Garrett being suspended indefinitely. That was where his mind was at. Not on, okay, we've got to go out and we've got to take care of business. This is the biggest game of our entire season. If we go out in this game and we win, we put ourselves in a situation where we could be successful. We could make the postseason. That's not what he's worried about. He's not worried about, hey, how do we represent ourselves? What do we look like? How are we preparing? How are we getting ready to win this game? No. He's wearing cute t-shirts and thinking he's funny. That is where Freddie Kitchens' mind is at. I don't think the guy is capable of being an NFL coach. Not right now. He's not a head coach. And you can see that a mile away. And you know, we saw it again on Sunday. The Browns actually beat the Cincinnati Bengals. But what was the story afterward? Odell Beckham Jr. might want to leave. Baker Mayfield is talking about, I don't know, the medical staff misdiagnosing Odell. Things he really has no business talking about, by the way, to the public. But what else would we expect from this team? Even when they win, they still lose. And it does come from the top. This was already going to be iffy at best. When you put him in charge, yeah, the Browns are in trouble. The New York Giants will be firing head coach Pat Shurmur, like, again, literally any second. For years, you know, we always kind of thought of the Giants franchise as just kind of being, I don't know, like above firing head coaches quickly. Like, they would kind of stick with a guy. Let's just kind of see. Let's let him develop. Let's see if he is the guy. But Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur, oh, they have thrown that notion right out the window in the last few years. I know the Giants are going through that whole quarterback changeover from Eli Manning and all that stuff. But they have done a really, really poor job of accumulating much talent. But then Shurmur has also really struggled to give his team any sort of identity and to give the Giants fans much of like anything to get excited about. The Giants are 10-34 in their last 44 games. And they're on their way once again to finish dead last in the NFC East. That would be, by the way, for the third season in a row. But Pat Shurmur has been the head coach for 28 of those 48 games. And his record with the New York Giants is 7-21. Now, I want you to think about this. The previous head coach, Ben McAdoo, who, remember, everyone couldn't wait to run that guy out of town. He had a record of 13-15 as head coach. Hold on a second. Pat Shurmur hasn't just been worse than McAdoo. He's been a lot worse than McAdoo. Yeah, Pat Shurmur is going to be gone. He's going to be gone very, very soon. Another coach we should talk about in the NFL, and I know he went to the Super Bowl just a few seasons ago, but why aren't the Atlanta Falcons better under head coach Dan Quinn? I mean, you have talent in Atlanta. You do still have quarterback Matt Ryan. You have Julio Jones. You have Devontae Freeman. You have Calvin Ridley. But the Falcons are terrible for the same reason that they're terrible every single year. Once again, big surprise, the Atlanta Falcons have no defense. Now, what is weird about that is the fact that Dan Quinn is a defensive guy. That's like his forte. He was a defensive coordinator. What is also weird is the fact that when you think about some of the teams the Falcons have beat this year, they beat the New Orleans Saints. So they have talent. They swept Carolina. They can play. They just don't always play. But wait, it gets even stranger, because if Quinn does get fired, he's actually rumored to be the guy that Carolina could hire to fill their head coaching vacancy. I don't understand any of this whatsoever. How in the world could Dan Quinn get a job? He has been horrible with Atlanta. Carolina apparently is eyeballing the guy. I don't get it. I'm completely baffled by the Atlanta Falcons. Hey, coming back, we still have a few more head coaches in the NFL that are going to be pretty nervous to answer their phones for the next few weeks, including two coaches that were just in the playoffs last year. Plus, we do have a very special Daily Dose Top 5 to get to today. Hey, like I said earlier, this week marks our 5-year anniversary of doing the Daily Dose. And in those 5 years, we have learned a lot. So let's continue with our NFL coaches that are on a bit of a hot seat as this season winds down. And let's go to a familiar place that always seems to be on the verge of hiring a new head coach, firing an old head coach. But we thought that they might have actually finally found their man when the Detroit Lions hired former New England Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia a few years ago. We kind of looked at it and said, maybe he's the guy. I mean, maybe he's the brains up in New England that keeps that defense so tough. And we know the Lions have long been a wasteland. But remember, they actually managed to beat the Patriots last year. We all thought, hey, maybe Matt Patricia has restored the roar. Unfortunately, that's not exactly how that's gone. They've had a number of injuries. Of course, the biggest quarterback, Matt Stafford, this year has all but crushed their season. And their defense, it's still not quite as good as advertised. I'm not sure the Lions are going to pull the trigger on Matt Patricia, but if I were him, I'd be very, very nervous. Maybe they like the guy. Maybe they think he has a future up in Detroit. God knows they don't have much else to cheer for. So maybe they'll keep him on and give him another season or two. Maybe if Matt Stafford had stayed healthy, maybe the season would be completely different for Detroit, because I really liked them when they started the season this year. But then he went down. They didn't have any backups and it got ugly really, really fast. But Matt Patricia has to be at least a little bit nervous right now. Now, if you are the New York Jets, how are you feeling right now? And what do you do with head coach Adam Gase? I mean, remember, the Jets just hired him this past year after he had been absolutely horrible when he was down in Miami as their head coach. But remember, when he was in Miami and terrible, Adam Gase always managed to beat the Jets. So the Jets front office, for some reason, thought he was actually really, really good, even though he had no proof of that. Even though, like, he didn't have the resume that was really, really good. The best thing Adam Gase has ever done in his career, he was on the sideline when Peyton Manning called his own plays. That was like it. But Adam Gase in New York has not been a great start. The Jets are 5-8 with losses to, get this, those same Miami Dolphins. And remember, the Jets also lost to, at the time, winless Cincinnati. And the Jets had to hold on for dear life this past Sunday to beat the Dolphins in the rematch 22-21. Now, maybe the Jets just say, hey, Gase is our guy. Gase is going to be good. He's eventually going to get things figured out. He's eventually going to get quarterback Sam Darnold to play like he's capable of playing. Or maybe the Jets are getting real, real nervous. And they're starting to look at Adam Gase and go, oh, yeah, you did suck at Miami, didn't you? Like, we forgot about that. You were just good against us, but we're terrible. So that's not a good gauge of how to read things, is it? I don't know if the New York Jets are going to figure that out, though. They don't strike me as being quite that smart. Now, coming into the season, there were a number of experts, NFL experts, sports media experts. They were fully on the Los Angeles Chargers bandwagon. Hey, this team has talent. They finally broke the curse last year. Remember, the Chargers won a playoff game. They're going to be a contender this year. Here's the problem. All of those people forgot that the Chargers are a snake bit franchise and that they will always, always, always break your heart. Plus, there's that whole voodoo mojo thing of, you know, moving the team and transplanting the team and ripping off your fans and that whole thing. That was a complete and utter mess. But you don't just walk away from that. The football gods are going to have something to say about that. And the Chargers have felt that hard this year. Quarterback Philip Rivers, I don't know, he looks like he might be done. His arm strength is so bad. If you watch the Chargers, the only throws that Philip can now complete are when his wide receivers just get themselves open by like 5, 10, 15 yards. Then he kind of just throws it up and they run under it. Other than that, Philip isn't, you know, threading any needles. That is not happening. He doesn't have that in his repertoire anymore. He doesn't have the arm to make those throws. The Los Angeles Chargers are dead last in the AFC West. Yes, behind Denver. Denver, remember, swept them this year. Head coach Anthony Lynn, at times I watch him and I see him being completely indecisive. It's 4th-and-1. Coach, what do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, coach, you're like the head coach. What do you want to do?
I don't know. What does anybody else want to do? We want to take a vote on this?
Anthony Lynn, you've got to be like the guy making the decisions. You've got to be the guy that says, hey, here's what we're doing. And we're going to believe it. That's not the case right now. He looks like he's not sure. He looks like he's struggling. And maybe, you know, it's his quarterback. Maybe he's looking at it saying, well, I don't know what to do because I know what Philip used to be capable of, but Philip is not that same guy. So I don't know whether or not I can count on him to make the plays we need to make. But here's the other thing. There are weeks that I watch the Chargers. They just don't look like they're ready to play. They don't look like they're very motivated to play. It will not shock me if the Chargers were to make a move on Anthony Lynn. I'm not sure he deserves it. I think he probably maybe needs a better quarterback, but it won't surprise me if the Chargers would pull the trigger on Anthony Lynn. Finally, we have the least, I don't know, surprising secret in the NFL, and that, of course, is in Dallas, where the only thing keeping the Cowboys in playoff contention is the fact that they were designated somehow to be an East Coast team. So they play in the NFC East. And the NFC East this year is the worst division in football. We have a real chance of seeing a team from the NFC East get into the playoffs with a losing record. But the Cowboys were being picked by, again, a number of the experts out there to not just be a playoff team, to possibly be a Super Bowl team. Right now, the Dallas Cowboys are under 500. They have 0 wins against quality teams. They have 0 wins against any team with a winning record. The offense is struggling. Running back Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know, he can't always seem to get going. Like, sometimes it looks like he gets going early, but then he struggles late. They kind of bottle him up. The offensive line doesn't look as powerful as they once did. The defense has been very, very inconsistent. Owner and general manager Jerry Jones has stuck with head coach Jason Garrett for 10 years now. And in those 10 years, the Cowboys are 83-66. I mean, not horrible, but they have just 2 playoff wins in those 10 years. I had heard in a number of circles prior to the season that Jerry Jones was accepting nothing less than at least making the NFC Championship game from this Dallas Cowboys team. Yeah, that looks like a pipe dream right now. The Dallas Cowboys are not in the class of those top teams over in that conference. Dallas beating, I don't know, Green Bay doesn't look possible. New Orleans doesn't look possible. Seattle, San Francisco, no, it doesn't look like they could beat any of those top teams. They might make the playoffs because they're in the NFC East, but other than that, I can't see the Cowboys going anywhere whatsoever. Here's the biggest question that I have. Who would the Cowboys go get next if they do end up firing Jason Garrett? I mean, whoever takes that job, that's a tough situation. You have to be willing to have Jerry Jones breathing down your neck, over your shoulder every single day. Because remember, Jerry isn't just the owner. Jerry's the GM. He's in the locker room. He's in the coaches' meetings with you. That is a much different situation. I keep hearing people throwing out these names like Urban Meyer or even like Nick Saban or Lincoln Riley. But that's a really tough situation to work in. Remember, Urban Meyer had problems with his university president. You think he's going to have an issue with Jerry Jones? Yeah, I think he might. Nick Saban, you think he's going to have Jerry Jones telling him what to do after he has been the be-all, end-all down at Alabama? That's not going to go well. Even Lincoln Riley, I mean, I know he's a young guy, so maybe he'd be like, I'll live with it for a little while. I don't know if you want Jerry Jones telling you, Lincoln, I was thinking maybe we'd do something a little bit different this week on offense. Now, Lincoln, I was thinking what we'd do, maybe we'd run a little bit of tricky plays this week. I don't think he wants to hear that kind of nonsense. He wants to coach his guys, doesn't want Jerry Jones telling them what to do. So does Jerry have like someone in mind if he does fire Jason Garrett? Is that someone himself? Hey, the Cowboys are going to be extremely interesting to watch over the next few weeks. Now, I realize this is the season for football coaches to be sweating their jobs, but don't forget, the NBA and college basketball, they are rolling along now. And we have seen early season firings over there as well. I mean, the New York Knicks, they just fired head coach David Fizdale last week. Now, I am told, I can't confirm this, but I have been told that Fizdale has been partying nonstop ever since. And I mean, let's all be honest, we can't blame him, right? That's a disaster. That was a huge anchor around Fizdale's neck. I think he can actually coach. I don't think anyone can be successful with the New York Knicks. Not now, not with that ownership situation. But it's not just Fizdale. There's some other coaches in the NBA that could be in some trouble. I mean, the Chicago Bulls, they've got to be looking a little bit at Jim Boylan, don't they? They're off to a slow start. And if you watch like a timeout, and again, I was a former coach, so I am always looking at like body language. Watch how the players deal with Jim Boylan. They don't look at him. They don't listen to him. They don't care one ounce what he has to say. He could be in some trouble in Chicago. The Cleveland Cavaliers players are rumored to already be tuning out head coach John Beilein. That was fast. What's he been on the job, like a month? Sometimes these college guys, though, they come in there, they try to give the same rah-rah speech that they would give to their college kids, and pros just go, yeah, dude, I don't care. Like, I make more than you. I don't even care if you play me. I'm not trying to, like, buck up for a promotion. Do whatever you want. I'll do whatever I want. Shut up and leave me alone. John Beilein could be in at least a little bit of trouble in Cleveland. And the Washington Wizards, they have done absolutely nothing ever under Scott Brooks. So we could easily see a move in the NBA. And that's not even counting some of the teams maybe that have kind of gotten out of the gate slow that were expected to do more. We could easily see a coach on the hot seat in the NBA. And even in college basketball. I mean, how long does a school like Wake Forest stick with Danny Manning? They're off to a terrible start. The Demon Deacons are really, really struggling. Danny Manning could be in some trouble. King Rice is having a hard time right now at Monmouth. Hey, it's a tough job. I talk to so many people that are like, you know what? If I was the head coach, if I was in charge, I'd be running this play and I'd be running that play and I'd put this guy here and I'd put this guy here and I'd be making some moves and doing some things. Hey, I've got news for you. When you are the person in charge, when you are the head coach, ooh, it's a tough job. It's a really, really tough job. If you don't find a way to succeed, if you don't find a way to maintain that success, some of the people we talked about today, they've had success even kind of recently, but it is all about what you have done for me lately. And that coaching business is brutal. It is vicious. Believe me, I know it can be very, very unforgiving. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose top five this week. Like I told you earlier, this week marks the 5-year anniversary of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. You know, we started back in December of 2014, and we have been posting new episodes every single week. In fact, we even went to a daily show from sometime in 2017 until 2019 when I ended up tearing my rotator cuff in my right shoulder. And then surgery and rehab kind of took that daily show stuff, off the table. And if I'm being completely honest, I think that the Daily Dose is actually just kind of better as a weekly show anyways. I like it better. It feels like a more comfortable fit. But you know, here at the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, we have done some things that I'm very, very proud of, like I talked about earlier. We've gotten a lot of things right. Now, we have missed a few things, maybe like a few here or there. Sometimes we'll get, you know, a prediction wrong or whatever. Sometimes, like last week, I said the Army-Navy game was last weekend. It's actually this coming weekend. Hey, that's on me. I get some things wrong sometimes. I'll admit that. I'll own that. But we try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports, which it turns out is actually not all that common. We are not your beer guzzling, crush the can on your forehead kind of sports podcast. That's not what we do here. We have people on the show that have actually been involved in sports. We try to look at sports realistically. And as I have told you in the past, we are always looking to learn from what we see in the world of sports. You know, everyone in the sports media world, they do these kind of knee-jerk reactions. They try to throw out these hot takes. We try to bring a little bit of levity to what we see in sports. We like to look at some sports history. Sometimes it actually helps to look back at sports history. You can actually learn about the future sometimes by looking back. But today, on the fifth anniversary of the Daily Dose, I am going to attempt to count down the top five things that I have learned by doing this show for the past 5 years. Let's jump in right now. The Daily Dose, top five things that I have learned doing the Daily Dose. Starting off at number five. I have learned, and this is 1,000% true, I have learned that it's not just women that are not impressed that I have a podcast. Yeah, police officers, they're not impressed either. You might think that when someone, I don't know, maybe at a party asks you, hey, so what do you do? Oh, well, actually, I have my own sports podcast. You'd think that might be a good icebreaker. Yeah, I'll tell you this right now. Women don't care 1 ounce. They are not the least bit impressed. Oh, and by the way, police officers, if they pull you over and you tell them that, yeah, you're still 1,000% getting that ticket. You know who will usually perk up? And I don't know why this is. I don't know how this works. Your doctor. That's who's interested when you tell them you have a sports podcast. They're like, hey, turn your head and cough. Oh yeah, you know what? I actually think I have heard your show before. I recognize your voice. Thanks, Doc.
Moon River. Whew. Thank you, Doc. You ever serve time?
Breathe easy.
Breathe easy. You using the whole fist, Doc?
Just relax.
I have definitely learned women and police officers not at all impressed by the fact that I have a sports podcast. Moving on to number four. And this was a tough lesson. This was a tough one. I have learned that I am never, ever, ever letting Mike Tyson do our Daily Dose taxes again. You know what? I knew better than this. I did. I knew that Mike Tyson had past tax problems. Back in 2003, he actually had to declare bankruptcy after making like hundreds of million dollars. He owed the IRS like $17 million. But he told me he had learned from that. He said he was doing better now. He said he had gotten his things together. What I kind of, I guess, failed to account for was the fact that now Mike Tyson, they say, is smoking an abundance of marijuana. It seems that Iron Mike actually has a pot farm, and they're saying he smokes like $40,000 worth of bud every month. Hey, that's a mistake on my part. I should have known better when I heard this.
Where do you go from here, Mike?
I don't know, man. I might get faded into Bolivian, you know what I mean?
Letting Mike Tyson do our Daily Dose tax return, that's on me. I learned that. I'm better for it. We'll make sure we don't make the same mistake in the future. Moving on to number three. And this one was pretty personal. I learned that former United States Senator Hillary Clinton, she's not that great with names and actually may have cost her the United States presidential election back in 2016.
Madam Secretary, are you a fan of the Daily Dose? Have you heard the show before? And would you say that maybe you have learned anything from it?
Well, you know, let me say this, Chuck.
It's actually Clint.
You can say this was unrelated if you want to, but we did the show back in October of 2016. At that time, if you'll remember, everyone was convinced Hillary was going to be the next leader of the free world. She comes on the Daily Dose. She botches my names multiple times. She sounds like a crazy person. The Donald ups his amphetamine intake and boom, what do we have? Yes, a historical political upset. Now, Was it Hillary and her emails? Was it Hillary and all of her lying? Was it the fact that she probably has had people killed? Or was it the fact that Hillary couldn't even remember my name? She couldn't even keep my name straight. Now, to be fair, she had passed out a few times. There's a chance that maybe she was suffering from some CTE. We'll let you decide. All I know is this. She was leading. She came on the dose. She botched my name. Then she lost. You do the math. Moving on to number two. And this, you know, we talked about it just a few minutes ago. This is a tough lesson for me. I have also learned that it is possible for someone to, let's just say, tear their rotator cuff while trying to strap Denver Broncos president of operations and general manager John Elway to the front bumper of their car. Look, I am a sports fan. Make no mistake about that. I've been involved in sports. I played sports. I coached sports. I even officiated sports. But above all else, I am a Denver Broncos fan. I try not to let it take over the entire show, but make no mistake, I bleed orange and blue. And when I see what John Elway has done in the past few seasons, sometimes it makes me act crazy. Think about this. Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Case Keenum. Those are just the quarterbacks that he's brought in. So I may have tried to, let's say, organize a private meeting with John, you know, just to discuss a few concerns that I had. And I may have done some significant damage to my right shoulder, but the good news is it's healing. I had surgery back in July, repaired the rotator cuff. The torn bicep is now improving. I am getting some strength back in my shoulder. And I mean, at least lately, the Broncos have won a couple of games. Then again, I also do remember Trevor Siemian and Brandon Allen looking good when they first got in the game. So I'm still not all in on Drew Lock. Oh, but I will say this. Let John Elway screw up this next draft. Trust me on this. You're going to be hearing how I tore up my left shoulder this next time.
I find it very hard to see the logic behind some of the moves you have made with this fine organization and reduce them to a laughingstock, all for the glorification of your massive ego.
Hey, lesson learned at number two. But the number one thing that I have learned in my 5 years of doing the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. And in that time, I want you to think back. We have had a number of guests. We've had a gymnast. We've had former coaches. We've had boxing promoters. We've had a race car driver. We've had sports writers. We've had just, you know, friends of mine that I want to have on the show. I mean, Larry from Centennial, he's been doing our NFL preview show for a few years now. Big Rob, he comes in, he talks pretty much anything in sports. He's done our college football preview for a few years. Mike in Castle Rock has been on a number of times. John in the Inland Empire out in California has been on. Crazy Trixie used to stop by. Russ McKinstry comes in and he gives us insight on all things sports. Even someone like, you know, Raymond in DC, he has stopped by the Daily Dose studio a few times. But the biggest thing that I have learned doing the Daily Dose and having these guests on the show is that my guests don't always want to sit on my lap while we do those interviews. Hey, next week on the Dose, we will, of course, be recapping all things in sports. College football is finishing up, but bowl games are set. We might be looking at a few of those. The NFL is finishing up their regular season. Which teams are actually proving to be true contenders? And college basketball and the NBA are heating up. Plus, I mean, the world of sports just always gives us something to talk about. So no question, we'll have a lot to talk about next week on The Dose. Hey, I have to say thank you to each and every one of you for the last 5 years of doing this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. But more than anything, we say it every week, but I mean it. Thank you so much for sharing the show with someone you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Make sure you stop by ESPN and join our College Bowl Game Pick'em. We would love to have you in our group. Have to say thank you to JSP. Couldn't do any of this over the past 5 years without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
Well, you know, let me say this, Chuck.
It's actually Clint.